Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night!
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 168th episode of Dave's Gone By, celebrating the 4.5-something billionth episode of Planet Earth. That's right, this week is Earth Week, leading up to Earth Day, this coming Saturday. Now, I am not the most moralistically green-conscious person around. God knows. I'm not an ex-hippie. I'm not a current hippie. I barely even have hips. You know, white Jewish men just don't. Anyway, I am not in a position, or do I have the energy, to be a naturalistic, holistic, recycling demon. I use plastic, and I don't just mean credit cards. I will go into Trader Joe's and specifically ask for plastic bags because the paper are such a pain in the ass and the handles are more likely to rip. And I prefer drinking from plastic cups rather than glasses at home. First, because if you drop a Dixie cup on the floor, you get a mess. If you drop a glass on the floor, you get an hour of looking for skin-slicing slivers in a wet paper towel. Plus, after you wash glass, depending on how well they rinse, either by machine or by hand, you sometimes get that detergent-y taste. Nothing like having a glass of milk with an Ajax chaser, if you know what I'm saying. So even though it takes plastic about 300 gajillion centuries to biodegrade, it does have its merits. You know, I always wish Snapple, which I guzzle more than air, made it 16-ounce regular bottles in plastic. Of all the hundreds, probably thousands of iced teas that I've drunk, I think I've dropped three that actually broke. And only once was it a real problem. It was in a travel bag, and it leaked all over my camera, which ceased being a camera at that point and began biodegrading then and there. But even so, Snapple bottles would be lighter to carry around and less worrisome over hard surfaces if they were plastic rather than glass. And they make the 30-ouncers out of plastic, or whatever they are, 45 ounces, and those little baby 10-ouncers, so I don't know what the problem is, but the flagship stays in breakable glass bottles, which I'm sure are much easier to recycle and probably taste better. But yes, I would switch if I could. And I don't wear hemp. I mean, I might if they could make a shirt that didn't look like a boat rope. And I like running the water for a nice hot shower. Don't ask me to sit in a bathtub. You get, you know, all clean, but then you sit there in your own soapy water and filth. I mean, I want that stuff down the drain, not clinging to me while I'm stepping into my BVDs. And I don't get the whole water conservation thing either. I mean, logistically, how does that make sense? I'm not talking about keeping oceans clean and stopping companies from polluting lakes and dumping used enema bags into the bay. That should be strictly monitored, of course. But as far as letting tap water run when you're washing your hands or brushing your teeth, I don't get people who just fill a glass of water, keep swigging from it, then swishing it around, and spitting and swigging and swilling and swishing, and then dipping their brush in the same cup. That strikes me as seriously gross. I mean, if what I was taught in high school is correct, water comes from rain. It comes from molecules of hydrogen and oxygen doing this little dance together. In fact, they get so close, it turns into a threesome. Those kinky little molecules having all the fun. One happy little hydrogen atom, meets up with these two hotties from the oxygen network. They get all tangled up together, all hot and sweaty. And right at the climactic moment, out comes a drop of water. And that is how it goes 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 times all across the world, probably across the stratosphere. And then that water drop gets exposed to air And if the air is warmer than freezing, eventually that water droplet evaporates, turns into nothing, into steam, until it's sucked back into the breeze, only to hook up with another pair of oxygen babes and start the whole process again. That's my point. Since it is a never-ending process, if the water is clean, what's the point of conserving? Whether water goes into your stomach, or if it spills on the floor, or if it just goes back down the drain into the East River, it's all being recycled naturally, isn't it? It's not as if you spill a gallon of water down the drain, and then it somehow disappears from the universe forever. There's still water somewhere. Okay, obviously, I am not a scientist. In fact, I'm sure there's a scientist or two listening in and shaking their heads going, why do they let Jews on the radio? No, but I really don't get the whole water thing unless, I don't know, it's just a question of wasted water, which makes more work for the water companies who have to clean and desalinate that gallon all over again. And we've all had the experience in years past of being in a drought or a drought warning situation, and then we'll get 5 straight days of rain, but the weatherman comes on and says, well, we still have drought conditions. And I'm like, drought conditions? I can't cross the street without soaking my sneakers. What the hell is wrong with you? And of course, it's because from all that rain that poured down, exactly 3 drops fell into the reservoir. It's as if they built the reservoir under a tunnel so rain couldn't get to it. Heaven forbid they should design a reservoir so it's actually in a good place to catch rain. It's like a mogul who plans to build a ski emporium in the Bahamas. What a great place for it, you know? You can ski without having to get all bundled up and worry about frostbite. Okay, so you lose 6 skiers because they drown! It's a minor kink, a minuscule flaw, but, okay, seriously, I'm certainly not against keeping water clean and pure. After all, much as we venerate Pete Seeger for his music, New Yorkers owe him a debt of gratitude for his help reclaiming the Hudson. And anybody who stands up against big business and toxic dumping is a true American idol. And while the data on global warming has been contradictory and confusing and badly disseminated, let's face it, the air cannot be getting better. I always wonder if we had a time machine and could go back, say, to the 1600s, would we step out of this contraption and fall to the ground gasping just because the air would be so much purer than we're used to? Or actually, vice versa, would we barely even have to take a breath because the oxygen count would be so high we'd feel totally giddy? But after the Industrial Revolution, alongside modern technology and overpopulation, there's no way on God's not-so-green earth that the air quality has improved over the past 300 years, over the past 3 years. We're in big trouble. And the only positive thing, honestly, is that you and I, and maybe even one generation younger than us, will be dead before the sheer act of living on planet Earth will be in crisis. 40 or 50 years isn't going to bring the apocalypse, I hope. But whether the old solar system can sustain us for 200 or 300 more years, and I mean without governments having to ration all food, all water, and put out oxygen masks for the entire world population, I don't know. Granted, if science can cure this and diagnose that, maybe they can also invent giant machines that suck up polluted atmospheres and expel air so clean it could have come straight from the Garden of Eden. But science will probably be too busy inventing new surface-to-air missiles and ways to cook a turkey in less than 20 minutes. So we're pretty much stuck with the Earth we have. But that doesn't mean we should just shrug our shoulders and admit defeat. We don't have to start throwing candy wrappers on the ground or driving cars that get 3 miles to the gallon and spit forth exhaust that smells like it's shot out of Courtney Love's esophagus. We can make sensible adjustments to the way we live and behave. we can appreciate the beauty of the natural world and try to get others to realize we're all just temporary guests in this round hotel. And one way is to at least give some respect and attention to Earth Day, April 22nd, this coming Saturday. It's an absolutely positive, non-controversial holiday. It should probably be a vacation day from here to Kathmandu and everywhere in between. I mean, Abraham Lincoln may not mean anything left of Sacramento. And Chinese New Year? There's very little to recommend it in Taiwan, and it's doubtful they celebrate a white Christmas in New Guinea. But saving and embracing the universe, well, that should be universal. Now, Earth Day is actually 37 years old. Kind of surprising, since you only really started hearing about it the last few years. Typical. Ron Popeil invents a gadget that lets you drive a car while you're eating a chicken sandwich, and it's on TV every night for a year. Someone gets a really good idea for humankind, and it takes 30 years for someone to send out a press release. But eventually, Earth Day did catch on. I guess because it had to, for everyone's sake. Earth Day Network started Earth Day in 1970 as a way of boosting environmental awareness around the world. Nixon was in the White House, and, you know, whatever you want to say about him and his record on the environment, it was his Congress that began to set limits for allowable levels of pollution in the air and in automobile emissions, and they passed the Clean Water Act, they started phasing out leaded gasoline, and they banned DDT. So there was more behind the Earth Day movement than just lovey-dovey, granola-crunchy, bowing to the moon and singing Kumbaya. However, this being a radio program on a dinky little station on Long Island, pretty much all we can do to celebrate Earth Day is to be lovey-dovey, granola-crunchy, bow to the moon and sing Kumbaya, my lord, Kumbaya. No, no, we can do a teeny bit more. And in that vein, I'm happy to say our guests tonight are doing their bit to make things better. Not even on a global level, but right where we live, in our own homes and offices and schools. It's a company called Green Nest. Two words, Green Nest, founded in 2003 by a relatively young couple who discovered that most of the time, healthy living starts right in your own backyard or front parlor. Lisa Barris and her husband Ron realized that the chemicals they were using on their carpets to clean their furniture, sprayed on the foods to keep the bugs off, these very chemicals that were supposed to improve daily life were actually killing them, or at the very least, giving them allergies that made it impossible to breathe. So after figuring out what was wrong, Lisa and Ron set about making their home cleaner, free of toxins, stripped of allergens. And once they'd done that, she basically got cured, and they both adjusted to a new and healthier way of life. And they realized that there was money to be made, in a good way, by helping other people rid their homes of bad, bad stuff. Stuff they may not even realize is giving them colds and sniffles and respiratory problems, or God forbid, cancer and tumors. So, yes, Green Nest sells a whole bunch of organically proper products, and for a fee, they'll come into your home like those nannies on TV and tell you everything you're doing wrong. But on the show tonight, they're just going to give us a bunch of tips that everybody can use. Helpful hints to make our living spaces more livable. And if then you want to go to greennest.com and buy an organic mattress or some non-toxic bathroom cleansers, by all means. But here, they'll be giving us pure, useful information. A rarity on Dave's Gone By, since I generally try to make this show as useless and ridiculous as I possibly can. I mean, what the hell do you want for Sunday nights at 11, C-SPAN? But I do want to celebrate Earth Day. I am all for it, and I think you should join me in the Earth Day song. Happy Earth Day to you. And by the way, we have copyright clearance on this because it's a sort of a spoof, so ASCAP has no problem with our doing this. Happy Earth Day to you. Happy Earth Day to you. Happy Earth Day, dear Earth. Happy Earth Day to you. How old are you now?
4.5 billion years.
And how do you do? You look like a monkey. Actually, in a few decades, this planet may indeed smell like a monkey. But so far, things still smell okay, except in New Jersey. And I certainly want to thank all of you for sniffing us out on the dial, AM 1240, from now until midnight. We'll have some other Earth Day music later in the program, a little environ medley I put together. Music, talk, and comedy, that's the natural landscape of Dave's Gone By, hosted by yours truly, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, humorist, and dilettante environmentalist, and I have been noise-polluting the airwaves with my verbiage since October 2002, thanks to Ulit Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings of Long Island's South Shore, Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, and the Broadway Bible, and MortgagesRock.com, the place where brokers get richer. If you know people who need to borrow money for whatever reason, second mortgage, college tuition, fixer-upper financing, you can help them and help yourself by going to MortgagesRock.com. They'll teach you how to be a broker and earn commissions while making dreams come true. Licensed in New York State, MortgagesRock.com takes you through the paperwork, so the more you learn, the more you can earn. And it's not just a website. There's actual people with a real office and telephones all ready to answer your questions and help you become a broker. MortgagesRock.com, where making money never sounded so good. And we will have Lisa and Ron Barris of Green Nest sounding off about how to healthen up your home right after this.
Dave's Gone By listeners know I love a good play on words, but let me say a good word on plays. My plays, collected in a lovely book called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Comedies that range from strange to deranged, from sad to satirical, fun, and unmistakably Dave. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Put down that crappy bestseller and pick up some laughs. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby.org for Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World.
Why can't I be good? Why?
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway, and you can see them shine off Broadway too. And if you love the theater scene, you need this special magazine. Performing Arts Insider is for you. Everything you want to know about theater, cabaret, opera, and dance, 516-295-1511, 516-295-1511, or performingartsinsider.com.
Hi, this is Lisa and Ron Barris of Green Nest at greennest.com, and you're listening today to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and we're celebrating Earth Day, and I guess you could also say Green Day, even though I'm not very familiar with the band. The last album by Green Day was the very famous American Idiot, and we tend to be idiots, in this country at least, and probably a lot of other Western European countries, about the ecology and about what we're eating and living in and breathing and sleeping on and in. Don't want to be an alarmist. I don't want to be one of those panic people. But there are probably some pretty easy ways and steps that we can make our lives a little bit healthier. I mean, there are ways we can make our lives a lot healthier just by blowing up all the McDonald's. But I've got a couple of people on the phone with me, Lisa and Ron Barris, and they're from a company called Green Nest, and they're going a little far afield from what we normally do on Dave's Gone By, but again, to celebrate Earth Day, and because I do believe in trying to live a little bit healthier, they're going to give us some tips in different ways as to not only telling us what might be around us that's killing us, that we can control, but also what we can control in what we eat and do that'll keep us living a little bit longer. Did I kind of get that all right, Lisa Ron?
You sure did.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, good. Well, I mean, your thing is creating healthy homes. So explain a little bit about that, please.
Okay. We actually got started in this business because I personally suffered a lot of illness, such as fatigue and hormone imbalances and flu-like symptoms, which nobody could diagnose after having been to about a dozen different doctors, and realized that it was the toxins in my home that were actually making me sick. I was eating healthy and exercising and doing everything else right, and it turns out that it was actually an overabundance of toxins in my home that were causing these illnesses.
Now, we're not talking about radon gas or asbestos here. We're talking about some other kinds of stuff?
Exactly. We're talking about everyday chemicals that are in every home that people are getting exposed to day after day, and this can also be in your office as well. And so we're not talking about extreme cases of mold or radon or anything like that. We're just talking about, you know, a cumulative effect of toxins that build up over time in your body. And so we're here to help your listeners and show them ways that they can identify these toxins and take actions to remove the toxins from their home.
That's right. And, Dave, we actually put five things that are making your home sick are actually killing you ultimately that we wanted to talk about.
Go for it. Name a couple.
Well, the first one is air. People don't realize this, but the average indoor air quality is 2 to 5 times or up to 100 times more polluted in the average home than the outdoor air. Two is the water. The water that we're drinking and showering in, we're getting inundated with chlorine, parasites, heavy metals, and so forth that are also wearing down the body.
Another one is formaldehyde. This is classified as a carcinogen by the World Health Organization. And formaldehyde is in everything in your house, from your cabinets to any pressed wood products to your paint, carpeting, upholstery, you name it. The list goes on. And what happens is this outgasses into the air, and you breathe in these chemicals day after day. Another one is pesticides.
Right.
Pesticides are carcinogenic. They're hormone disruptors. They're linked to a lot of childhood leukemia and different illnesses like that.
But how do we even, like, I live on Long Island, you know, and we tell our gardeners not to put pesticides on our lawn because, A, we have dogs and there are other dogs in the neighborhood and children too and stuff. But, I mean, there's so much already in the ground that is leaching off from every other yard and from all the water anyway. I mean, what's the point of knowing what can kill us if there's not much we can actually do about it?
Well, there are things you can do about it, and that's the whole point of, you know, us talking about this today, is that this isn't a hopeless case. If you're in a situation where your neighborhood happens to be using pesticides, and, you know, you can try to get on the board of your association and fight for non-toxic means of pesticide use. You know, get with your neighbors and explain, you know, how these pesticides are linked to illnesses and try and take action that way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that. You can control your own house. You can control what you're putting on your own yard and, you know, exposure that you're getting in your own home, whether it be through sprays or baits or anything like that. If you're eliminating your own exposure day to day, you're going to be a lot better off, even if you're getting very slight exposures, you know, through parks or yards or things like that.
And what about on the fruits and vegetables that
fruits and vegetables, yeah, that's a very large source of pesticide exposure. So we recommend trying to eat organic whenever you can.
So it really does make a difference? It's not they're charging a dollar more and you're basically getting the same thing?
No, it really does. And I think, you know, just what you said, the perception is, oh, it's more expensive, why should I do that? Well, it's your health. You know, cancer can be expensive, too, if you get that, you know, in the long run. So you have to look at the long-term costs of buying these things. And, you know, also, if you do buy regular produce, you know, wash it thoroughly. Really scrub it and wash it to get those pesticide residues off. But, you know, ultimately, eating organic is the best bet because you're not going to get the pesticides anyway.
And what are some of the other killers that are basically in our homes that we can do something about?
Okay, carpeting is a big one. Almost everyone today has carpeting in their home.
Mm-hmm.
Carpeting is synthetic, and there is over 120 neurotoxic chemicals in carpeting, not to mention the tens of millions of microorganisms that, you know, breed in the carpeting. One of the ways that these pesticides and dirt and debris and mold and all of this gets into your carpeting is actually through your shoes, believe it or not. Coming in and out of your house, you're tracking a lot of stuff on the bottom of your shoes, and you don't even realize it. So one thing is to, you know, get in the habit of leaving your shoes by the door. That way you're, you know, keeping a cleaner home, and you're not bringing in these pesticides and things like that. Another way is if you are remodeling or moving into a new house, consider not using carpeting, especially if you have allergies, because these again, like I said, they're breeding grounds for a lot of microorganisms.
Even like the indoor-outdoor carpeting, or is that maybe a little better, but it's still, as opposed to a shag or a deep
yeah,
pile.
Yeah, because, right, it's a shorter pile, but ultimately carpeting is carpeting, and it's synthetic, and it's going to have a lot of chemicals in it, unless you're getting organic or natural means of carpeting, like a wool or something like that, and you know that it hasn't been heavily treated.
So did they pinpoint specifically what was making you sick? Because, I mean, a lot of people, millions of people have carpeting, and millions of people eat regular, I mean, they wash the regular fruits and vegetables, and then they don't get what you got.
Right, that's right. Well, part of it is everybody is different. Some people have lower immune systems. Some people aren't going to get sick until years later. Believe it or not, it's a good sign if your body is showing you symptoms, because then you can do something about it. What's really scary is when you don't have symptoms, and 20 years later you're diagnosed with cancer
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Right.
So regardless of whether you have symptoms or not, you can be assured that you are getting chemicals in your home. So you really need to be proactive and not reactive. You know, take a proactive approach to changing these things now rather than waiting till you're sick and then, you know, having to react. What actually made me sick was really a combination of a lot of different things, such as brand new carpeting that was just installed.
Mm-hmm.
Carpeting is most toxic when it's brand new.
Well, that smell.
Smell, that whole new home smell, the new car smell, that's all toxic chemicals that are being released.
And polyurethane, I guess, on the floors, all that stuff.
Yep, polyurethane foam in your furniture and in your upholstery.
But do you live in a bubble now? I mean, or no, really, seriously.
That's a good idea.
Right. Well, you know, I don't, and that's the great thing, is that once you make the changes to your home and you start to see, you know, your health improve, whether it be something as simple as having more energy, and just overall feeling better. You know, once you start lowering the toxic load in your life, you
mm-hmm.
don't have to be as neurotic, so to speak. You know, you're building up your own immune system, so you're going to be more less susceptible to diseases and things like that. But, you know, we're just really living in a toxic society today where there's just so many chemicals. 100,000 new chemicals have been introduced since World War II.
Wow.
You know, into our existence. So we're being bombarded. And if you aren't proactive and you aren't taking notice, you know, chances are it's going to catch up with you in some way or another.
Oh, my God, the wedding is next month. We need flyers, invitations, booklets, everything. We are screwed.
No, we're not, Pearl. We'll just go to Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Hewlett Minuteman? What can they do?
Printing. Raving.
Really?
Letterheads, souvenirs.
Wonderful! Are they still at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett?
Yep. 516-569-5577.
Well, stop dawdling, let's go!
Yes, dear. Day after the wedding, I kill her.
You get parodies and sketches, interviews and fetches. Check our website listing and you'll find your faves airing week after week. Every show was unique. Da 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 da, those were the good old Daves. That's right. So many great moments on past episodes of Dave's Gone By. Now they're archived and available on CD. Special guests like Neil Innes, zany sketches with Rabbi Saul Solomon, and songs like Making Poopies. Classic episodes of Dave's Gone By, only $12, with discounts if you buy more than one, and add $1 each for a personal autograph. Check davesgoneby.org for all the past shows, or email davesgoneby@aol.com. If you want to have fun, buy CDs, everyone! Yada-da-da-da, those were the good old Daves!
Hi, this is Lisa and Ron Barris of Green Nest at greennest.com, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By at WGBB.
Well, the good news, Dave, is we have 10 steps to creating a healthy home.
Mm-hmm.
We recently just released a CD called Learn to Create a Healthy Home, and we can walk through your listeners the 10 steps that we have.
Well, give us a couple of the steps, and then they've got to buy the CD to find out the others. And by the way, we're talking with Lisa and Ron Barris of the Green Nest Company. You can get them at greennest.com. Give us a couple of those steps, please, Ron.
Well, one of the things to go back, and we mentioned air before, how that was actually potentially killing you in your home. Well, that's our first step in creating a healthy home, and that's to create cleaner air for you.
Mm-hmm.
Some simple things you can do is just increasing the ventilation of your home. Open up a window. Get ventilation going. Prior to 1970, the average air exchange in a home was once every hour. Now it's once every 5 hours or even worse.
Oh. Homes today are so tightly sealed for energy efficiency, but what's happening is we're not getting any fresh air in.
Add an air purifier, specifically with the HEPA.
So those really, are those also for real?
Those are absolutely for real. And what you're probably thinking of is ionizers, which we don't recommend at all, those type of air purifiers. But to get an air purifier with a HEPA,
HEPA filter,
is your best bet.
And how often do you have to change that filter and deal with that? And
well, it really depends which unit you're talking about, but some of the models that we carry, ultimately you're changing a pre-filter once a year, once every year.
Oh, so it isn't like once a month or anything like that?
No, not at all.
Those are some of the, there's lower expensive models you can buy, you know, at your local Walmart or whatever, and, you know, a lot of them aren't as high quality. They don't filter out as many chemicals and toxins, but, you know, we carry a higher quality purifier, and, you don't have to change the air filter as often.
Cool.
So, yeah.
And, I'll also chime in with a very different kind of a health thing. I mean, my wife used to have migraines, and she also used to get the sniffles and different kinds of little ailments 2 or 3 times a month. And she changed her life, not by removing carpet, we don't use many chemicals in our home at all. You know, basically hand soap is about it. I'm not going to tell you how we use that. But anyway, but it involved her eating, and she does eat organic, and she cut out most of the meat. And the usual stuff that they tell you about dieting helped a whole lot. So that's also part of it. For just your eating habits and your exercise habits in general, it really does, cliche as it is, obvious as it is, and unfortunately it's not the lazy way. It involves a whole lifestyle change as well. But what are some of the things that lazier people of those 10 steps can do that involve maybe a one-time thing or don't require daily or monthly monitoring?
Well, like Ron mentioned, the air purifier, you don't really, you know, once you put that in your house and put it on, you really don't have to worry about it until it's time to change your filter.
Right, and other stuff.
Okay. Ron, you want to talk about water?
Yeah, sure. That's a great idea. You know, a lot of people don't realize the contaminants that are in their local water supply or just coming from their home. For example, one thing you can do is, first of all, you need to identify what are the potential problems in your water. And you can do that by getting in touch with your local water utility company or doing simple tests yourself. I mean, test to see if there's too much chlorine in the water. One of the things you do once you identify the contaminant within your water, whether it be a different chemical or lead or just chlorine, you find a filter method that is best for your home. There's carbon filter models out there. They're really good at removing, like I mentioned before, chlorine. These are the common, you know, pitchers, under the sink models you can get for your home. This is a great way to eliminate a good chunk of your, you know, the contaminants from the water and just to protect yourself.
Does boiling water remove everything?
I'm sorry?
Does boiling water remove everything?
No,
making tea and stuff. It's still in there. I mean, it's taking out some other impurities, but some of the stuff you're talking about would still be in there even if you boil it.
But boiling water doesn't do a great job of killing bacteria and parasites, but if there's chemicals in there, they're not going to go anywhere.
Lead and things like that, and the heavy metals.
That's right. And so, depending on what you want to take out, I mean, there's different filtration methods. There's reverse osmosis. We recommend that in certain cases.
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds nice.
There you go.
It's a more expensive, usually in a 3 or 5 stage process, which goes under your sink. So it's a little more cumbersome, but if you've really got a bad water supply coming in, you definitely want to use something a little more thorough like that.
So have you noticed that people in general are getting more or less green and health conscious over the past couple of years?
More. Yeah, it's really great to see that people are becoming more and more aware. And, you know, knowledge is power.
I mean, not in the White House, but everywhere else, I think.
Right.
Well, Lisa and Ron Barris, it's been really, really interesting and fun and good to talk to you about all these things. Again, if people want to find out more about creating healthy homes and ways to rid their homes of toxins and ways to just help them live better in a rather simple and easy way and not have to breathe or eat crap that they're just taking for granted, where can they do that?
GreenNest.com.
Green?
That's our website.
Mm-hmm.
Green Nest, and we have a how-to CD as well, which will teach you how to create a healthy home.
That's right.
Well, thanks for purifying our airwaves in the neighborhood, Lisa and Ron Barris.
Right,
thanks for having us.
So, you don't have satellite radio, you don't have an iPod or 100 music channels on your cable? Doesn't matter. Live365.com has dozens of radio stations and all sorts of formats absolutely free. And one station, DFSX Radio, plays vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By every Thursday night at 8 and 11 Eastern. I've even put their link on davesgoneby.org. So just click to hear music and talk and me free on DFSX. Sponsor me, Dave's Gone By, run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me, if you're wise, on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Easter Sunday, about a week away from Earth Day, which we're celebrating here. And as promised, I'm going to do a music set, kind of rare, because I rarely have the time to play a few songs together on the show. But I'm going to, in honor of the moon and the stars and the planets and the Earth and all those cool things that make up this world in which we live, going to start it off with my aunt's favorite song of all time. Kind of not so much an environmental song, but, well, what better way to start a hymn of sorts to planet Earth than with Earth Angel?
Get you to it. Human tumor. Human tumor. Diarrhea, hallelujah. The river is gray.
taste, it tastes like waste. Hallelujah. And there's detergent on the riverbed. Hallelujah. All the birds and fish are dead. Hallelujah. The river is black and full of mire. Hallelujah. Old tin cans and Goodyear tires. Hallelujah. Michael, pull that boat ashore. Michael, drag that boat ashore. Hallelujah. The river was blue, but not for long. Hallelujah. Someone's doing something wrong. Hallelujah. Michael, row that boat ashore. Hallelujah. Michael needs that boat no more. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Asking a very germane and very Yoko-like question, have you seen a horizon lately? That was from the Ono Box. Heard a whole big set of music there with environmental concerns. Starting off with Earth Angel from the Penguins, not the original version. Followed by Humans from Earth, an original version and song from T-Bone Burnett. Then The Garden is Open, Live Fugs from the 1960s. Then Tom Paxton, who was a guest on this program, I'm very proud to say. That was his version of Whose Garden Was This from the 1988 Very Best Of collection. Then, well, yours truly doing his version of Michael Rowe, The Boat Ashore, followed by Joni Mitchell's Big Yellow Taxi, the live version from Miles of Isles. Tom Waits, an excerpt from The Earth Died Screaming, which we really don't want it to do, followed by someone who did a lot of screaming, Yoko Ono. Hope you enjoyed that rare music set on Dave's Gone By. If you like this show, if you like a bunch of the kinds of shows that we do, do know that many of our back episodes, our best episodes and our worst episodes, are available for purchase at my website, davesgoneby.org. D-A-V as in Victor, E-S, goneby.org. CDs are on sale at $11 each. That includes postage and handling. You can also get my book of plays, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, and read my absolutely free blog, all at davesgoneby.org. It's also the link to go to live365.com's DFSX radio channel on Thursday nights at 8 and 11. That's when they play vintage episodes for free of Dave's Gone By. So you can even listen to some older episodes every week, Thursday nights, 8 and 11, just by jumping from my website, davesgoneby.org. Listen also to Country Music in Exile, hosted by Roadhouse Vic, every Sunday night at 6. That's on AM 1240, WGBB, where you are right now. And also listen to Joyce Keller, America's longest-running radio psychic, doing her thing Wednesday nights at 11 on WGBB. Gotta give my thanks to Hewlett Minuteman Press, to Performing Arts Insider, and MortgagesRock.com, our wonderful sponsors. Gotta give my thanks to my wonderful wife, Joyce, to my folks for a delicious Passover dinner, both of them, and to all of you for listening. We'll be back next week, April 23rd, for the 169th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Happy Easter. Daga, daga, daga. They say it's your Earth Day. And gone by.
With your fields of green, once more laid down by the hungry hand. How long can you, give and not receive, and feed this world? Yeah.